We've just got a message in from a listener who says, can anyone help me? Our water in Piercetown in Newbridge is very low pressure, affecting the washing machine, the electric shower, etc. And can't seem to get any light from Kildare County Council. We're going to follow up on that and see if we have any reason as to why that might be. But as we heard in the headlines from Kira, there is works that are taking place out in the Morristown area where there's a road closure. It's to facilitate the reconstruction of the approach walls at the railway bridge on Morristown Road, although that wouldn't have any impact, just reading it there now, on the water supply. The planned works are scheduled to take place for 21 calendar days. If anyone else in the Piercetown area of Newbridge is experiencing low pressure affecting the likes of your taps, the water machine or the washing machine or the electric shower, then do get in touch with us and we'll follow up on it. And thanks indeed for that. On the line now we have Dominic McAvoy of the Acre Project in Selbridge. Good morning, Dominic.
Hi, Owen. Good morning.
This is the latest in our social enterprise interviews in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership. And Dominic, just to start off, first of all, by way of introduction, the Acre Project, what does that mean and what do you do?
So Acre is an acronym. It stands for a community rethinking its environment. And I suppose there are three important words there, but two of them are community and environment. So what we do is we try and engage the local community in Selbridge and in the north of Kildare to take a fresh look at the environment they're living in and to see how they can interact with that environment and how they can improve that environment as well too.
This project has been running for a number of years, Dominic, hasn't it? I think dates back to 2008.
Yeah, that's right. It started off with the generosity of the Salesians, and they gave us use of a little bit more than an acre of ground adjacent to Salesian College in Selbridge. And over that time, we have built a couple of purpose-built buildings, state-of-the-art buildings in terms of energy use and heat use. We've built a few polytunnels, and we have created landscape gardens and also a sensory garden where people can come and relax. And our recent addition to it is we have added a bowling green and a bowling club, which we have just run this year, and we hope to expand that into next year.
Okay, super stuff. As you say, phase one of the project is now complete. It's provided external beds for growing vegetables, flowers and fruit crops, and also some of those other buildings that have been brought in as well. The important thing here, I think, Dominic, and as you say, it's standing for a community rethinking its environment. You don't necessarily have to be an expert here. You just have to want to have that engagement with the community and want to change maybe the way that you do things.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are a few things. One, it's just a place where people can visit if they want to get out of the house and just wander around in a kind of a peaceful garden setting. That's one thing, and just enjoy their environment. I think the second thing is we offer classes and we offer courses that look at how we use our environment, both from the horticultural and the growing side of things, to the more kind of energy efficient and how you do things in a better way. So to give you an example, the buildings we have there, we harvest the rainwater, of which we have plenty lately, and we use that to kind of flush toilets and that sort of thing. So there are plenty of things going on, both for just being in your environment, but also thinking about your environment and its future.
Phase two is also complete, I understand. That includes the provision of a second building, the polytunnels, the wind turbine, security fencing and that sensory garden landscaping that you mentioned, Dominic.
Yeah, that's correct. So we obviously COVID set us back a little bit because it's a very interactive place where people come and visit. But now, thankfully, we're back up and running again, and all those facilities are available to the local community to use and to avail of.
And we're doing these interviews in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership, talking to various different social enterprises. How would the Acre Project in Selbridge fall under that category or under that heading of a social enterprise?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank Kildare, County Kildare Leader Partnership for the tremendous help and assistance they've given us over the past, I wouldn't say year, I'd say years, over the past years, because they've been really helpful. It's all about the community, and it's all about how we engage as a society, with the environment that we live in. And we're constantly trying to look at ways in which we can engage the community more and in which we can look at how we do things on, in our environment and how we improve it. And I think the other thing about the acre too is we try to be as intergenerational as possible to give it that complete community feel, so that it's not just for young people, it's not just for old people, it's for everyone that's there. And we have, thanks again to the Leader Partnership, we have some staff there which we employ, and they help us keep the gardens, and they help welcome visitors, and they help basically look after the place.
And just before we let you go, Dominic, if anybody listening in wants to get involved with the Acre Project or wants to avail of any of the services that you have there, is it open to everybody? How can they do that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, any time it's open, and it's usually between 9 and 5, you can just walk up and walk around and visit the place. We also have specific events, and every now and then we put out a call for volunteers to do some work around the place. Or if someone wants to help more, perhaps they go up and talk to some of the staff that are up there, and they can guide them through the process as to whether they just want to help out for a few minutes one day a week, or whether they want to do something more substantial if they just go and visit the project and talk to the staff there, and they will guide them through.
And just remind us again, Dominic, where you're based.
So if you're travelling from Selbridge to Maynooth, you will encounter the Salesian College on the left-hand side, and you enter into the grounds of the Salesian College and you follow the signs. We are in a piece of land, a parcel of land adjacent to the college.
All right. Great stuff. Listen, thanks a million for taking our call this morning. That is Dominic McAvoy of the Acre Project in Selbridge. And as we say, we're doing these interviews in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership, highlighting the various different social enterprises that are located around the county.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, 4 out of every 10 Garda stations in Ireland recorded an increase in crime last year compared to pre-COVID levels, despite being subject to lockdown restrictions for large parts of the year. An analysis by the Irish Independent of a detailed breakdown of crime figures reveals that 40% of Garda stations nationwide recorded more criminal offences in 2021 than in 2019, the last full year crime rates were unaffected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The number of crimes in 223 of the country's 564 stations last year exceeded the total for 2019, which had the highest annual total of recorded crime in 7 years, with over a quarter of a million offences. In contrast, there were just 189,000 offences recorded last year, a 16% decrease on 2019 levels. We can take a look now at recorded crime in 2021 by Garda Station here in Kildare. Ciara joins us to go through some of these figures. Ciara, we'll actually start with you. You're taking a look at Athy Garda Station, and there was a significant decrease there in Athy between 2017 and 2021.
Yeah, by exactly 200. 781 in 2017, 581 last year. If you look at assaults, threats, 93. Burglaries, 28. Drugs, 40. Criminal damage, 79. Dangerous driving, 22. Fraud, 43. Public order, 65. Robbery, 4. Theft, 163. And other, 44. So the total offences in 2021, this is 581.
That's for Athy Garda Station. If we go then to Carbery, there was an increase in offences in Carbery in from 2017 to 2021. 112 in 2017, 153 in 2021. They included 12 assaults or threats, 19 burglaries in the Carbery district, 12 drugs offences, 24 criminal damages, 24 for dangerous driving, 11 offences for fraud, 13 public offence orders, 0 robberies in or were dealt with by Carbery Garda Station, 33 thefts and 5 others. And as we said, total offences there, 153.
And Owen, if we're just to go through the Garda stations in general, you're mentioning car burglaries did increase the offences between 2017 and 2021. In general, all the stations majority of them did see a decrease, that is, in offences. So if we look at Castledermot, 2017, 95. 2021, it did increase to 127. Assaults, threats, 20. Burglaries, 22. Drug offences, 4. Criminal damage, 19. Dangerous driving, 12. This is all Castledermot now. Fraud, 6 offences. Public order, 18. Robbery, 1. Theft, 21. And other, 4. So the total offences for last year, 127 in Castledermot.
Yeah, in Selbridge, a significant decrease then. 843 offences were dealt with there in 2017. That dropped to 506 last year. They included 46 assaults or threats, 39 burglaries, 75 drugs offences, 50 criminal damages, 34 for dangerous driving, 57 for fraud, 52 for public order in Selbridge, 2 robberies, 139 for theft, and 12 for other. So in Selbridge again, the total number of offences, 506.
Now it's neighbours. Clane in 2017, 428. 2021, 322. Assaults, threats, 38. Burglaries, 22. Drugs, 49. Criminal damage, 35 offences. Dangerous driving, 33. Fraud, 19. Public order, 36. Robbery offences dealt with by the Garda station in Clane, 0. Theft, 79. Other, 11. So the total offences last year, 322. And just to remind people, obviously COVID-19 restrictions were in place in parts of 2021.
Slight decrease in Kilcock. It went from 315 offences in 2017 to 296 in 2021. They were 37 assaults or threats, 18 burglaries, 33 drug crimes, 28 criminal damage, 46 dangerous driving offences, 24 fraud offences, 43 for public order, 2 robberies, 59 thefts, and 6 other dealt with by Kilcock Garda Station. In total, 296 in 2021.
Now heading back south of the county, in 2017 in Kilcullen Garda Station, they dealt with 185 offences. Then last year, it was down to 156. Assault, threats, 11. Burglaries, 26. Drug offences, 6. Criminal damage, 27. Dangerous driving, 11. Fraud, 17. Public order, 18. Robbery, 2. Theft, 36. And other, 2. Total offences dealt with by Kilcullen Garda Station last year, 156.
A marginal increase of 16 in Kildare Town. 511 offences dealt with at that Garda Station in 2017, whereas last year it increased to 527. 80 assaults or threats, 18 burglaries, 69 drugs offences in Kildare Town, 58 for criminal damage, 18 for dangerous driving, 76 for fraud, 82 for public order, 1 robbery dealt with by the Garda Station there, 104 for theft, and 21 for other. So again in Kildare Town, 527 in total.
If we look at Leixlip, another decrease, 499 offences, that was in 2017 dealt with by Leixlip Garda Station. Then in 2021, 476 offences were dealt with. If we look at the breakdown, assaults, threats at Leixlip Garda Station, they dealt with 51, burglaries 16, drugs 99, criminal damage 27, dangerous driving 21, fraud 50, public order 46. One robbery was dealt with by Leixlip Garda Station last year, theft 149, other 16. The total offences last year at Leixlip Garda Station that they dealt with, 476.
Okay, in Maynooth we have another decrease, but again it's quite slight, from 2017 to 2021, 643 dropping down to 628 last year. 51 assaults or threats, 39 burglaries, 142 drugs offences, 32 for criminal damage, 34 dangerous driving, 61 to do with fraud, 77 public order offences dealt with at Maynooth Garda Station, 6 robberies, 176 thefts, and 10 others. So in total, 628 for Maynooth.
back to south of the county now. Monastirevan had 203 offences dealt with by the Garda station there in 2017. Another decrease for 2021, there was 175 offences dealt with. Assaults, threats in 2021, 17. Burglaries, 11. Drug offences, 14. Criminal damage, 20. Dangerous driving, 16. Fraud dealt with by Monastirevan Garda station, 33. Public order incidents, 16. Robbery incidents dealt with by the Garda station in Monastirevan, 2. Thefts, 38. Other, 8. The total offences last year dealt with by Monastirevan Garda station, 175.
Okay, for Naas and Newbridge then, I'll do both of these towns. In Naas, there was 1,700 in 2017. That dropped to 1,600 in 2021. So a drop of 1,000 incidents that were dealt with at Naas Garda station. That's on average. The assaults and threats, 130. 66 burglaries, 138 for drugs offences, 83 for criminal damage, 135 for dangerous driving, 147 for fraud, 181 public order offences, 6 robberies, 352 thefts and 348 other. And the total offences there was 1,586. In Newbridge then, as we say, that also has a drop. That's from 2017, 1,100, dropping to 964, including 147 assaults and threats, 43 burglaries, 141 drugs offences, 96 for criminal damage, 53 for dangerous driving, 74 to do with fraud, 122 public order offences, 10 robberies, 231 thefts and 47 other. So the total offences that were dealt with by Newbridge Garda station were 964. Just two more to go then, Ciara.
Yeah, lower populated areas here. Own Rathangan Garda station in 2017 dealt with 118, in 2021, 82 offences. So breaking that down, assaults, threats, 17. Burglaries, 8. Drugs, 6. Criminal damage, 14. Dangerous driving, 3. Fraud offences dealt with by Rathangan Garda station, 11. Public order incidents, 8. Robberies, 2. Theft, 10. Other, 3. The total offences last year dealt with by Rathangan Garda station, 82. And finally, Robertstown, that Garda station, 140 were dealt with offences in 2017. But last year, 2021, 119 were dealt with. Another decrease there. Breaking it down, assaults, threats, 17. Burglaries dealt with by Robertstown Garda station, 16. Drugs, 11. Criminal damage, 18. Dangerous driving, 12. Fraud offences, 8. Public order, 15. Robbery, 0 that were dealt with by Robertstown Garda station. Theft, 15. Other, 7. Total offences last year dealt with by Robertstown Garda station, 119.
All right, that is an in-depth analysis there of the crime figures that are released, and it's very, very good work done by the Independent there. They have an exclusive, the crime figures for your local Garda station, as 4 in 10 see a rise despite the pandemic lockdowns. You can check out more information there on the Independent website. I think the CSO have some of the figures there as well, but that analysis was carried out by the Irish Independent. Another message in to us from a listener that's living in Pearstown. We had one earlier on that said that the water pressure out there is very low. It seems to be affecting the washing machine, the electric shower, and can't seem to get any light from the council. Another listener says, I live in Pearstown too. The water pressure is unbelievable. It's very low. We need help in this matter, please. We will follow up on it. We have no response as of yet, or no information to do with that, but we'll follow up on it on the programme, and hopefully we'll have some information for you tomorrow. Ciara, we might just get Pa Monaghan as well on the line, because joining me now is Martin Hoare from Maynooth. He's a member of the Selbridge Athletic Club, and what a weekend he had. He won the National Men's Marathon title at the weekend in an exceptional time of 2 hours, 20 minutes and 22 seconds, and he joins us now. Martin Hoare, good morning.
Good morning. Great Thank you for having me.
Great achievement, Martin. I must say, you came seventh overall. You were the first Irishman to cross the line at the Dublin Marathon. Just tell us how it felt and what you experienced when you crossed that line at the weekend.
To be honest, I was told running in that there was no one behind me, so I had a bit of time to take it all in. Run up to the finish line, Jim Ockney, the race director, was there. He gave me a nice little high five just before the finish line, which was great. And when I passed the finish line, my mother actually was close at hand, so I got a good hug there from her as well, which was amazing. Something I didn't really expect to happen. So I think a completely difficult to take in, I think, all at once.
Yeah, I'm sure as well when you saw your mom at the finish line there just past it, to give her a hug was a great relief after running for 2 hours and 20 minutes. I have to say, I've never done a marathon. I might go out in the morning and, you know, do a walk or a run for a couple of kilometres. Mentally, how draining is it, or how much preparation has to go into to doing a marathon and doing that run for 2 hours and 20 minutes?
Yeah, it's been going for a few years. I saw that it's all little steps, isn't it? So you don't take the bicycle out day one, I suppose. But leading up to Dublin, there's a big support network coming out of Selbridge AC. There's a lot of people around there, from the coach and Derek McConnell and the chairman and John Connor is kind of supporting, kind of getting training together and getting people there. But look, the real, I suppose, headspace and the mental resilience came from Dublin, the hilly course. The mental resilience came from doing Boston Hill over an hour clock, to be honest. So I used
really?
To do, I used to do a nice 16 or 17 mile run over to our clock and up Boston Hill once or twice, maybe once a week. So that really kind of was, I think, what stood to me. I might credit that, but after it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that I was going to say. In terms of training, is it a case of you need to get out on the roads and be running the various different roads to get that experience, or do you do it on a treadmill?
No, I'm quite lucky. So, obviously, from North Clare, we have two nice canals, the Royal and the Grand. So, I do an awful lot of training kind of on both of them. Good surface, away from cars, and it's nice and safe. So, to be honest, I spend a lot of time, if you walk the canal, I'm sure you've seen me. But yeah, so I spend a lot of time there and able to hop off at in our clock and on, up the hills if I need it or whatever else. So not too many treadmill running miles for me, thankfully.
Right, okay. And it's something that you've been doing since a very young age. You're from Maynooth, as you mentioned as well, a member of the Selbridge Athletic Club. When you would have started out in running, I'm sure you always had in your head that you wanted to run in the Dublin Marathon. Have you ever experienced it before? Have you ever done it before?
Yeah, actually. So I would have played Gaelic football for Maynooth when I was growing up. So I played hurling as well, actually, for my sins. So would have played up to my senior football. I would have played under Liam Harnan with a lot of other stalwarts of the club, like the Ennises and the O'Neills and the McAndrews. But like when I was under 20s, my brother actually had gotten into triathlon, and he kind of had this idea that he might do the 2007 marathon in Dublin. And would I be interested? I didn't tell anyone in the club. I said, sign me up and I'll do it. I didn't do any training either. And I hobbled around just under 3:30 back. But that was about 15 years ago.
Mm.
So to be honest, been really at it since, I suppose. But don't tell anyone in Minutia. I didn't tell them.
Is that one of your personal bests then, would you say, Martin, that particular time? Or have you done those times, in or around those times, running along Boston Hill in Ard Cloch or along the canals in Maynooth?
From a marathon perspective, that's the fastest I've ran. It was a tough course, so you kind of hope it was a bit flatter, you might go a bit faster. But to be honest, I wasn't really focusing on the time on Sunday. It was all about the race. Just looking at who was in it, and to be honest, I didn't really expect. So the class of the field on Sunday was unbelievable. So you past champions, Olympians, and a lot of guys that have ran really fast this year already. So to be honest, I think I got to about 5 or 6 miles, and I looked around and I said, "Look, I'm in this pack," and I couldn't believe it, and I couldn't believe I was still there. When I got to 10 miles, I was pinching myself. When I got to up into Crumlin and Walkinstown, and there were three of us left, I didn't really know what was happening. And then when I passed the finish line, to be honest, I was in a bit of disbelief. So, I suppose I don't really have too many words for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And when you look at those that were in that pack, and we were following it here over the weekend as well, first over the line was Taufik Alam of Morocco in a time of 2 hours, 11 minutes and 30 seconds. Second place was Ashanafi Boja from Ethiopia, 2 hours, 13 minutes, 58 seconds. And in third place was Birhanu Teshome, also of Ethiopia, 2 hours, 14 minutes and 25 seconds. And as you've said, Martin, those athletes and from those countries in particular would have a very good track record of marathons and long distance running. When you found yourself in that pack and up amongst past champions from the likes of Ethiopia and Morocco, as you say, pinching yourself.
Well, yeah, one of them actually, he's a world 50k world record holder as well. So, to be honest, you're world record holders and fastest time that's floating around. But to be honest, just if you even take that field away, just the Irish guys in the field was amazing as well. So you really are pinching yourself, to be honest.
Well, listen, congratulations. It's a great achievement and well done from us all here in KFM. And I'm sure I'm echoed by a lot of people who are living around the county. It's great to see a Kildare man first past the finish line for the national title. From Maynooth, member of Selbridge Athletic Club, Martin Hoare, winning the national men's marathon title at the weekend. 2 hours, 20 minutes and 22 seconds. A personal best and a great achievement. And Martin, well done once again and enjoy the celebrations. Another man who was first past the finish line at the weekend, but no stranger to doing that, was Pat Monahan, Olympic champion, Olympian as well, Patrick Pat Monahan. He went over in the wheelchair race in 1 hour, 37 minutes and 28 seconds, and he joins us now. Good morning to you, Pat.
Morning, how are you?
I'm good. As I say, no stranger to passing the finish line first. This is the latest achievement in a very good career that you've had. How does that rank in your past achievements?
It's hard to say, really. I think, well, it's probably up there in terms of Dublin, because I think it was my fastest time. But I've been having a good run lately in the majors, so it would be kind of a higher level. No disrespect to the guys that I would be racing against in Dublin, but the field wouldn't be as strong as I'd be facing over the past few weeks by any means. So it was kind of just like a solo push, really, but time wise it was, I think it might have been my quickest Dublin, so I just have to say in terms of Dublin it's probably up there, alright,
yeah. Yeah, take us through your training regime then, Pa, because we heard from Martin that he would be out running along the canal or up around Boston Hill in Arklaki. He'd be doing runs of 16, 17 kilometres at a time. For yourself then in the wheelchair, what's your training regime?
Twice a day, 3 days a week, and 6 days a week. I have Sundays off. Probably similar. Like the canal here is pretty good. I got using it during COVID, realised it's safer than I thought it was. So I with time restrictions kind of during the day, I train mostly on my doorstep here, up towards Digby Bridge, just decent hill reps, and then I go down by the canal towards Prosper. So I've 3 or 4 kilometre stretches there that I can do intervals. So probably doing 150 kilometres a week at the moment, maybe 160, 170 in the winter, maybe a little bit more at times, a little bit less, but similar enough, yeah. Just getting in the mileage, a bit of everything during the week.
Is it hard to find an area that you can train in? As you say, you know, the canal maybe was a bit better than you would have thought, because I would have imagined there was a lot of uneven surfaces there, or stones, rocks, etc. But what kind of other places would you work around?
I live up the road from Mandela here, so I haven't been in a while, but Mandela have been great to me over the past few years. I get to use the track like whenever it's free, basically, they let me out in the track, so it's you can't get any safer than that, in fairness. Like, there's no cars out when I'm on the track. But along here, like, the surface is fairly, it's okay, but it's more from a safety point of view, because I'm down quite low in the chair. I thought the road was actually easier than it was. Like, so during COVID, I had to stay within the 5 kilometre radius, and I start going up and down. And then as traffic started coming back, I realised it's not as bad as I thought it was. So I just kept using it. So I go down to Mullingar weekends and do, like, there's on the Greenway there, it's perfect pavement, flat, you can go for as long as you want, really. 40 kilometres out and back, not that I go that far. and I use the Phoenix Park for like doing hill work as well. So I'm lucky within like 45 minutes from home. I have like three or four places that I can train. A lot of lads wouldn't have that I'm racing against. So it definitely makes it a lot easier in terms of training.
It certainly does, and as we said, you have had a very comfortable win at the weekend in a time of 1 hour 37 minutes 28 seconds. What's next for you then, Pa? I believe you're going over to New York soon, are you?
Yeah, New York on Thursday, so I'll have New York next Sunday, and in the last few weeks I've done Chicago, Berlin and London as well, so it's a busy time at the moment. I get New York out of the way and then hopefully have a good one over there. It's been good to me over the last couple of years, and looking forward to a break after that. Yeah,
I'd say so. And rest up, yeah. Then is that the final event before Christmas, or have you got more to do then, or are you just looking towards 2023?
That'll be the final one for me, yeah, and I'll take just probably 2 weeks off and then get back into 2023. It'll be a big year trying to qualify for Paris. It's getting harder, the times are getting faster, like, so I need to be top six in London next year to guarantee a slot. London's back to April next year, so I'll only have a couple of weeks off, and then I'll be training hard into winter straight away. That'll be my focus kind of after a couple of weeks' time.
Well, listen, congratulations again on the victory at the Dublin Marathon over the weekend. Best of luck in New York and continued success. Great to see so many Kildare athletes doing well at the Dublin Marathon at the weekend. Another message came in, this time from Maureen, and she says, Conor Tiernan from Newbridge did the marathon on Sunday in 2 hours 28 minutes. Well done, Conor, is the message there. So he was just 8 minutes behind the national winner, Martin Hoare from Maynooth, member of Selbridge Athletic Club, and as we heard there from Pam Monaghan, who really is a stalwart in the wheelchair races, winning there in a time of 1 hour 37 minutes and 28 seconds.
Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare's KFM.
Liz in Athy, if you're listening, I have got your message. I'm going to give you a ring after the programme at about 11:15 or 11:30 or thereabouts, and I'll talk to you about that. I won't read it out on air just yet, but I did get the message in to me, and I'll give you a shout back shortly. Another one in then, and it's a video from Julia in Castledermot. Great video. It says, trick and treating with the grandchildren in Castledermot last night. Sure, we were on lockdown for nearly 2 years. We might as well get out and trick or treat. And you say that you really enjoyed it. I saw the video. It looks like it's absolutely lashing rain. You can, I don't know if you can actually hear this. Can you hear that? Very good. Let's play it again. It's only a short video, but it looks as though it's flooded in Castledermot and the rain. Very good, very good. I can see all the children now trick-or-treating around Castledermot. Yeah, when I was hearing the rain banging against the window last night, I thought it was never going to stop. But then woke up this morning and the road was completely dry, more or less, around Naas. So there we go. Thanks for that video, Julia. Good to hear from you.
The Physio Room, in association with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, 2 George's Street, Newbridge, 045 435 480 and ablebodies.ie.
Yes, the final week of our Physio Room, and on the line is chartered physiotherapist at Able Bodies Physiotherapy in Newbridge, Leah Purcell. Good morning once again for the final time this time around, Leah.
Good morning, Owen. Yeah, it's a bit of a sad morning, our last morning on the Physio Room.
It is, absolutely. It's been very, very good, though, and a great success.
Yeah,
and I know some of the messages coming in from listeners really enjoying the various different slots that we've done. So thanks to yourself and to Maeve for providing us with that information. Today we're going to be talking about chronic pain, Leah, and the first question that crops to mind is, what's the difference between acute and chronic pain, or what, I suppose, qualifies as chronic pain?
So chronic pain is a complex area, and often people with chronic pain can get forgotten about it. It's a horrible thing to have to deal with, but it can be dealt with. It definitely can be dealt with if you have a good plan in action. Chronic pain is pain that lasts longer than a normal healing time frame. So that's usually between 3 and 6 months. And basically, there's say three different pain pathways that we have. And pain is usually a really good thing. It's usually a beneficial thing in that it protects us from doing more harm. if you think of, if you put your hand down on a hot surface, the pain tells you to take your hand away before you do much damage. Or if you think of after, if you've twisted your ankle or you've pulled a muscle, the pain that you feel is inflammatory type pain after that. And that's your body's inflammation getting in there to the injured area and sorting it out, basically. And it is painful for a while, but that's normal pain. If you think of if you twisted your ankle or you bruised your leg, that's kind of normal pain, and it's the body's mechanism of healing itself and making itself better. Chronic pain is a bit more complex, and it's when it goes on for longer than that normal healing time frame, and it's when your nerves and your nervous system become more involved in the problems, and we can get changes in our nerves that mean that we're feeling pain, the nerves are sensing pain in the absence of actual tissue damage. So it can be a really frustrating thing. You could get a scan done or x-ray done and nothing is showing up, and yet you're feeling this horrid pain. And a lot of the time it's from damage in the nerves.
All right. Already we have a message in, actually, Leah, if we could just break off there for the moment. And it says, what is the best exercise to help with backache or chronic back pain? This listener says that they've been suffering for quite a while with it.
Yeah, so often with lower back pain, that can be degenerative. So it can go on for a long time, but there's a reason for it. A lot of the time it's wear and tear in the back. And it's very hard to tell this person without fully assessing them. The general rule of thumb is that general exercise that doesn't hurt is beneficial. So even walking or cycling or swimming can be a great one. That's beneficial. Anything that gets you moving without exacerbating the pain is beneficial. And then if you see a physiotherapist, they can give you specific exercises based on what your problems are, when you feel your pain, what aggravates it and what eases it. And often strengthening up the muscles around the spine can be really helpful. Like, they're your core muscles, you might have heard that term before. Strengthening those muscles can really help, or stretching out the spine, but you'd really need someone to get a bit of guidance on them, because if you go hell for leather at trying to strengthen your back up, and that, you might actually make yourself sore. So I would say to that person, any kind of general exercise that they can find that doesn't hurt them too much, to go ahead and do that, and then to try and book in with a physio and get a few specific exercises for them to help with their particular problem.
Okay, is there a particular cohort of people then who would be more prone to suffer from chronic pain, or can it affect, you know, everybody in different ways?
Not really, no. There's not really, to be fair. It's not down to age, it's not down to gender. Like, there's chronic pain can happen to anyone. And so basically our central nervous system, so that's housed obviously in our brain, that's what controls everybody's pain levels. So if you were really tired now, Owen, if you were knackered tired, you hadn't slept and you were really stressed about something, your pain threshold is actually lower. So if I said, tell me, I'm going to pinch you now and tell me when it's more than just the pressure, when it becomes a pain, your threshold would be much lower when you're tired or stressed out or not feeling good. And that's because your central nervous system is kind of primed for pain. Now, if I saw you tomorrow and you weren't stressed out at all and you had a great night's sleep and you were feeling good, and I said, tell me now, I'm pinching you now, tell me when this turns into a pain, your threshold would actually be much higher, because your central nervous system is in a better place and it's not primed for pain.
Right, okay. That's interesting, actually, the way, you know, it nearly varies from day to day. I just see
and times in your life. So, like, the big impacts that can have a huge impact on chronic pain, more so than acute pain, are your stress levels, the lifestyle you're leading and your diet, like a lack of sleep in your life, anxiety, negative beliefs is another huge one. So there's huge evidence behind the fact that if you believe you're not going to get better, if you think this is it, this is me for life, and I'm not going anywhere, I can't get better, those beliefs are a strong predictor of the pain remaining chronic. So it's really important to, if you can link in with someone who can give you hope and give you a management plan to find your way out of this kind of complex thing that is chronic chronic pain, because mental health also has a huge impact on chronic pain levels as well.
Mm. Would arthritis fall under the category of chronic pain?
No, it doesn't really. It is a pain that obviously goes on, but if you do an MRI scan or an X-ray, you can see arthritis and you can see,
I say that just because a listener has sent a message in to say, any advice for helping with severe pain for the arthritis of the arm?
Okay, well, our arm is an unusual place to get arthritis from the arm, but there might be more of a history behind that, but movement is good without weight. So like trying to lift up the arm with your other arm, or imagining you're stirring a big pot with your arm just to get circles with your arm. Movement is probably a good thing. There are also potentially some medications that might help to get to help get over the initial hump of if the movement is too painful. I'm not looking for business for anyone, but I would recommend that person see a chartered physio, because there are things that can help with arthritis in the arm, and you might find that there's muscular pain and stuff there as well that the physio can help with.
Okay, before we let you go then, Leah, just generally to go back to, before that, there's another message here. I have a bulging disc hitting a nerve. I've had two pain injections, not working. The pain is down my leg. It's very bad, and they're on painkillers all the time. They say help. So this is regarding bulging discs hitting a nerve.
Yeah, so that's a common problem. I would wonder what was done. So injections for spinal pain, whether it's a disc in your neck or in your lower back, they generally, if they work — they don't always work, they're kind of 50-50 as to whether they work or not — if they do work, they give you a window of opportunity. So they give you kind of maybe 8 to 12 weeks while the steroid is in there bathing the inflammation. They give you that time to do some stretches or strengthening exercises, or to do something to change the situation in the neck while the pain has died down. If you do nothing between those injections, nothing changes. And then generally, the more injections you get, generally the less effective that they get. So I would urge that person to have an assessment. And it may be a case that exercises would help. If they've already been down the physio route, maybe they need to go back to their specialist and speak about surgical options for that disc. Or it might be worth trying another injection with some physio while the injection is in there working.
All right. Finally then, Leah, any tips generally for managing chronic pain before we let you go?
Yeah, so I really feel for chronic pain patients. A lot of them have been through a whole railroad of appointments, investigations, consultants. And this pain is driving them mad, and they can't get to the bottom of it. So I would say a really thorough assessment by a chartered physiotherapist, where you can learn what the problem is, maybe discuss medications with your GP or with a pain management specialist, then break the pain cycle through either medications or massage or manipulation or stretches or whatever it is, and then make a general sort of a management plan going forward. Because unfortunately, chronic pain is something that often doesn't fully go away, but it can be well managed, and you can live a very fulfilling, in inverted commas, normal — whatever normal life is. You know, you can do really well with chronic pain if it's well managed. But on the flip side of that, if it's not managed, if you don't know what's going on, it can send you into a bit of a spiral of mental health and depression, and unable to function in your sort of dropping out of your job, your normal life and things like that. So I would trying to get a bit of control and an assessment on that is really important, and I'd really advise it.
All right, listen, we'll finish up on that note. Thanks again to yourself, Leah Purcell, and Maeve O'Sullivan from Able Bodies Physiotherapy on Georgia Street in Newbridge for the past 10 weeks. I think they've flown by, but it's been a very, very successful.
Yeah, they really have. I can't believe we're into November now. We started in the summer.
I know. It's been very successful here every Tuesday morning, and thanks indeed for your expertise on the show.
That's great. Thanks very much, Owen.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
the Physio
thank you.
Room,
bye-bye.
In association with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, 2 Georgia Street, Newbridge, 045 435 480 and ablebodies.ie.